appreciate the opportunity to study with you from God's Word this evening. It's such a blessing to be able to proclaim the truths of God's Word. What a powerful Word that is, the Word of God that can save those who are willing to heed the message that it proclaims unto us. Before I get started, my mother asked me if I would again tell you how much she appreciates all the cards and your prayers and also the visits as she's out at Peterson Hospital. She really appreciates that so very much. And she was kind of a little bit down this week because two of her friends left, Eleanor and Marvin Gray, both had left. And she really enjoyed, she isn't able to use her arms, but she's been able to manipulate in the wheelchair and scoot around with her feet, scoot down the hall, and she'd scoot down there and visit them. And she really enjoyed being able to visit with Marvin and Luella and also Gail and Eleanor. But now they've both gone home, and she's going to be transferred tomorrow. We're taking her over. Peterson doesn't have any long-term beds out there, so we have to take her over to Heartland over in Lansing, Ohio. So if you will, I'd really appreciate your continued prayer. She really appreciates everything that you've done for, and I want to thank you again very, very much. This evening, we want to take a look at, for a few moments, a very important subject. The title of my lesson is Victory. The word victory means winning a battle, a struggle, or a contest, overcoming an enemy. As I was reading, or as I was eating lunch up at work today, there was a newspaper in the lunchroom, and I happened to was looking at the paper there, and I noticed an article by a sports writer up there, and he was talking about when he was just a little fellow, about 7 years old. He said his dad used to take him up to the Pittsburgh Pirate games up at Old Forbes Field, and he remembers one game in particular. He said it was in 1956, and he gave the date. He said they went to the game and the Pirates were losing by 3 runs. There were 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth and the bases were loaded. And his dad liked to get out before the crowd, so he was hustling his son, trying to get as close to the exit gates as they could. And as they were just about ready to leave, he said, "Oh, Dad, let's sit down and see what happens." And Roberto Clemente happened to be up. And he smacked one out to the wall, way out in center field, and he all 3 runs scored, and he made it home on a inside-the-park home run. And this fella said that's the greatest victory that he has ever seen. And I've heard it said, an old saying says, that it goes like this, it says, winning isn't everything, it's how you play the game. And Leo Durocher used to say, winning is everything. Losers don't win anything. You've got to be a winner. It's very important in the battle that we are in that we win. It's also very important how we play the game. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul speaks about the battle that we're in. He says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Each and every one of us is in a tremendous battle, a tremendous struggle, where winning is everything. And if you lose, you've lost it all. We're talking about our souls. How very, very important it is for us to win this battle. Jesus had said in John 18 and verse 36, when he was before Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight What a tremendous battle we are in. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin, every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." How are we to run that race? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, He despised the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'd like to take a look at, if we could this evening, seven very important points. They're all centered around this topic. What is needed for the victory? What do we need in order to win this battle? To win this war that each and every one of us is in? First off, we need a righteous cause. Whenever anyone does battle, there's a purpose behind what they're doing. They're trying to accomplish something. We need a righteous cause. It's amazing what some people will believe if they want to. I was just happened to be studying in the book of Luke, the gospel that you're studying in Bible class in the morning. And in Luke chapter 11, I was reading just yesterday about Jesus there. And He had just cast a demon out of a man. And those around Him were accusing Him of having cast this demon out by the power of Beelzebub. That's just amazing. If you look at the life of Jesus and how absurd that even sounds, it's almost like, you know, the righteous life that Jesus lived and how He was going about doing good at all times. And how could He possibly... And Jesus goes on to elaborate about it. He says He gave Him a very, very precise explanation of it all. He says, "Why would I, if I'm doing things for the devil, cast out a demon? You know, a kingdom divided against itself or a house divided against itself is going to fall. It doesn't make any sense." But if Jesus was being persecuted or looked down upon because He is doing things good, should we expect anything else today? How sad, but people often look down upon us for trying to do what's right. It's almost like if you're out on a crowded street corner and an elderly person starts to walk across the street and there's a car coming and you go grab that person and bring them back to safety, and everybody around you said, "What are you being so rough with that older person for?" And here all you were doing, you were saving the person's life. What was Jesus doing in this case? He was saving this man's life. He was casting out the demon, and they're accusing Him of doing it by the power of Satan. How sad. In order to win the victory, we have got to have a righteous cause. And our cause has got to be, as Paul proclaimed in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "Jesus Christ and Him crucified." To the Jews it was a stumbling block. To the Greeks it was foolishness. But those who were seeking to be saved, it was the wisdom and the power of Almighty God. Our righteous cause is Jesus Christ. Though He were a son, the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 5, "Yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." What is our cause? Our cause should be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We need a righteous cause in order to win the victory. And that is our righteous cause. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And further on, he said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." What do we need for the victory? A righteous cause. Secondly, in order to win, we need true leadership. In 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 6, it tells us as long as David was abiding by the will of the Lord, and when he went out to do battle, the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Wherever David went, the Lord preserved him. The Lord was with him. Who are our true leaders? Almighty God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 beginning at verse 55, Paul tells us this: "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to who? Be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Who's our leader? Almighty God, our Father, as Jesus prayed, "which art in heaven." Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 14, he said there, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." A righteous cause. True leadership. God. And also His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, speaking there about Jesus, Paul said, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but He delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If it is God that justifieth, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And he goes on to say, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." And he goes on to say, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What leadership we have if we're soldiers in the Lord's army. Almighty God and His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And John in Revelation chapter 14, he tells us if we follow those leaders, if we follow God and His Son We can be guaranteed a place in heaven. And he tells us in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 4, in order to have a place guaranteed in heaven for us, what we need to do, follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. As long as we follow the Lamb, He's our leader. He's directing our steps. We're going to win. There's no way you're going to lose. As long as you follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth, you will not lose the battle. The victory is yours. Then in Revelation 17, verse 14, John said this. He said, "These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings." And you notice He doesn't stop there. And He goes on to say, "And they that are with Him are called and chosen, faithful." True leadership will get us victory. As long as we follow the Lamb, wherever He goeth, can't lose. Thirdly, we have a right cause. We need to have true leader. We have the equipment. Someone goes off to war, they're not going to go out there with nothing on and expect to defeat their enemy. They're going to have their battle gear, guns if need be, or if it was back in days gone by, they'd have their sword, whatever shield, in order to be ready. Got to be prepared. What kind of equipment do we need? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, he said, "First off, you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." You need to put on Jesus. He goes on to tell us in Galatians chapter 3. How do we put on Christ? "You're all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. You're then clothed with Christ because you've been buried in the waters of baptism, having your sins washed away by His precious blood, and you're ready to do battle. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You have on Christ. And then you need to go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and hear what the Apostle Paul has to say to us there. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Not just a few of them, all the fiery darts of the wicked. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And then having done all that, there's something else you need to do as well. And he tells us that in verse 18. "Praying always, constant fellowship with the Father, so that you know His will." Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. "And watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." And then you're ready. You've got your equipment on. You know what you're fighting for. You've got a righteous cause. You've got true leaders. You've got the proper equipment. Fourthly, you need the right training. You need to be trained properly in order to be able to do battle. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul there told Timothy, he said, bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness profiteth unto all things. Having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. We need to have the proper training. We need to be trained in godliness in three different ways. We need to be trained in knowledge. We need to know what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Paul says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We need to know the Lord's will. In John 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus there said to the Jews that which believed on Him, He said, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We need proper training in knowledge, knowing what the will of the Lord is. How do we know what the will of the Lord is today? Study to show yourself approved unto God. Right here. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth. We need right training, proper training in knowledge. Also in discipline. And Paul there tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 25, he said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. In our training, we need knowledge. We need discipline. He said, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we do it for an incorruptible crown that will never fade away. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. In other words, he knows the direction that he's going in. Jesus has paved the way for him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14 and 6. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Paul knew what direction he was going in. When he was running the race, he knew exactly where the finish line was. And he was headed right that way, right to the finish line. And then he gives us another example too, as if he was fighting. You notice what he tells us there? So fight I in verse 26, not as one that beateth the air. He's just not swinging in the air and not hitting anything. He is swinging with a purpose. He's making contact, is what he's saying. You know, he knows where he's going and he's making contact. He is going to defeat this enemy. Because, as he tells us in verse 27, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, or unapproved, or worthless. Paul knew what direction he was going in. He knew how to fight, and he was going to win this battle. And we can, if we have, in our training, knowledge,